Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
La, la, la. 603. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan. And, of course, worldwide on MSG. As we broadcast live and local from the Allstate Insurance Studios, you're in good hands. It's time to get over it. It's a day that you knew was coming for the last 3 months. Darrell Revis is no longer a Jet. And yet you Jet fans, and I'm one of you, are acting like a bunch of five-year-olds crying and whining. We didn't get enough. We didn't get enough. Hey, your boy John Idzik came out and said, I ain't trading him unless you give me your first-round draft pick this year. You know what he got? He got their first-round draft pick this year. So the New York Jets have the 9-13. They'll get a three-round pick next year, and there you go. But for any one of you dopes that thought the Jets were going to be a Super Bowl team with Revis here that's now killing the organization for trading Revis, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. Clearly, they're not going to be a good basketball team, but it's time to wake up. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
All right, Craig. You're doing well. Actually, a great weekend up in Montreal. And then, you know, you come back. The Knicks are winning. The Rangers are winning. The Islanders are winning. The Mets take two out of three from the Nationals. And then, lo and behold, you got the Darrell Revis trade and everything else going on in the world of sports. My thing, we've been saying this since John Idzik took the job, that he has a mess to clean up. And what a mess it really, truly is. And remember, part of the deal for Darrell Revis is a $16 million contract for this season.
Per year.
There's no way. Yeah, but this year he's making $16
yes.
million. There's no way the Jets could have afforded that. And there's no way that the Jets would have wanted a disgruntled Darrell Revis in the locker room. So they had no choice. So Jet fans have got to understand the reality of where their team is right now and who John Idzik is and why he was hired and what his job is. Now, I'm not saying that all these decisions he's going to make are going to be the right decisions, but the fact of the matter is, at least he's making bold decisions.
I mean, look, there's
he
not
has
a,
no choice.
There was not another team out there, as far as we know, that was making any offer to the Jets. So you're negotiating with one other team. Obviously, the goal for the Jets, for whatever reason, was that this year's first round pick was paramount to them because the original offer had next year's first round pick, and the Jets waited and waited and waited, and they got the first round pick. Now, the other pick will be a third-round pick.
If he's on the roster next year.
Which he will be, obviously. And that'll happen next year. So you get a first and a third for your best player who's coming off major knee surgery. And I'm going to cry about that.
I sit here and say who won, who lost, all this other stuff. I think any good deal means that both teams gave a little to get a little. And I think in this case, that can be said, you know, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you don't really care much about them, only on week one next year when they open up against the Jets at MetLife Stadium, is the fact that, you know, they have a rebuilt secondary down there. They had one of the worst, if not the worst, pass defenses in football. One of the reasons for that is because of the division they play in.
Right.
Where you see you're going to see the Falcons, you're going to see the Saints, you're going to see the Carolina Panthers. And all three have top-flight quarterbacks. All three have top-flight wide receivers. So they needed this in the worst way. So therefore, they're willing to pay the $16 million and forego their number one pick. For the New York Jets, it's all about acquiring as many assets as you possibly can. Nobody says that they're going to use the 9th and the 13th pick on players. They could trade those picks to create even more picks and more opportunities. Because I keep telling you guys, remember where John Idzik came from. He came from Seattle. When Pete Carroll got there and John Schneider got there, the GM out there, what do? They turned and burned their entire roster. They kept the transaction thing was going 100
like a couple
miles an
hundred.
Hour. Yes, it was crazy. Now, sure enough, they were lucky enough. They found Russell Wilson,
right?
And he was the missing piece. He was the guy that actually took this team to another level. And the only way you're going to have that happen is if you have a lot of draft picks, and maybe you find that diamond in the rough, and maybe that's where the Jets, you know, future lies. I can't imagine unless Geno Smith is there. That they're going to go after a quarterback. I think that they're going to try to maybe trade one of these picks, package these picks, maybe go up and get somebody that they really look are looking forward. Maybe it's another wide receiver. Maybe it's an offensive lineman. Maybe it's a defensive tackle. All three are neat areas.
Right.
For the New York Jets.
I don't know.
And I think Itzig is doing what he's supposed to be doing.
I might tell you that today's a great day for the Jets. No, it's not a great day. But, it's not as if this came out of left field and the New York Jets are right there on the precipice of winning a title and all of a sudden they trade their best player. This isn't like Oklahoma City in basketball getting rid of James Harden in the same conference, right?
Right.
This is a guy that was not going to re-sign a contract here. A guy who's been a pain in the ass contractually since he did get here. A guy that you've won nothing with. A guy that's not going to make you good enough to win anyway. And you went out there and you traded him. Now, were there 10 teams eager to trade for Darrell Revis? No. I'm not telling you it's a good day. But if you're upset about this, you have to stop.
You're not being realistic,
right? You look at the big picture. They had a guy that they could not sign during the year or after the year,
and
because he wanted $16 million a year.
Bottom line, you can't have two cornerbacks making the money that Cromartie and Revis are making now.
Right.
When you look at how much Revis is making and how much Cromartie is making, and you combine those. You just can't do it in today's salary cap world, especially when you have a quarterback that is counting over $8 million to your salary cap.
I'll do one better. So. I can't believe that the New York Jets were able to get this year's first-round pick, so they have the 9th and the 13th now, for a guy that winds up signing a non-guaranteed contract coming off a major knee surgery. You could spin this as what a great job Itzig did by holding on and not taking the first offer made to him, because they wanted the 13th pick. That was the deal. The third round pick's nice to have because it should be another ball player.
Right.
They wanted the 13th pick in this draft. Now either they covet a certain guy or, like you said, they're going to package picks and get more picks. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
But I'll say this. For a guy that we know very little about, because he's only been the Jet GM for a couple months now, right? He has clearly come in here with a plan and he has carried that plan out.
And he still has a lot of work to do. He's got work to do. I personally think that this puts, I could read all the articles today, and, it's gloom and doom for Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's defense played pretty good last year without Darrell Revis.
Right.
And Cromartie deserves a lot of credit because he was their shutdown corner. They would have played a lot better had the offense given them anything, as opposed to turning the ball over and turning those turnovers into touchdowns and putting the defense in bad field position. There's no telling how much better the defense may have been. I know one thing. Rex will have a good defense. I'm not saying it's going to be a great defense. I'm not saying it's going to be a top five defense, but I know it's going to be an upper echelon defense in a sense that it will be a top 10 defense. I believe that because he'll do it. He'll create that.
Right.
Now, as far as their offense is concerned, it's a whole nother set of circumstances. It's a new system. It's a third offensive system in 3 years for Mark Sanchez, which, quite frankly, does not lend itself, in my estimation, no matter how good Marty Morningwood may be as a coach, does not lend itself for a winning environment for a quarterback to kind of flourish in. So that again, still is going to be the issue moving forward.
They're not going to be a good football team, and they went out there and they got a first-round pick and a third-round pick. So all in all, It's not a bad day for the New York Jets. You're a Jet fan, you want in on it? Let's go right now. 877-337-6666. Now, before we get to the other stuff, I want to remind you, starting today and every day for 5 weeks, between 6:15 and 6:30 in the morning, we are celebrating our move to the FM dial, still on AM 660, of course, but we're also on 101.9 FM with free money, because FM now stands for free money.
Yeah.
So every day, between 6:15 and 6:30, Boomer and I are going to announce that day's free money amount, all right? We're also going to tell you the two times later in the day when you can win the money. Got it? So this morning, between 6:15 and 6:30, you just got to listen. We are going to tell you the amount, and we'll tell you when we're going to give that amount away. And we'll do that every morning between 6:15 and 6:30.
That's good news. Now, here's the other thing about the Seattle Seahawks and where Itzig came from. Pete Carroll got there. They had back-to-back years, 7-9. As a matter of fact, that first year that they were 7-9, that NFC West was so bad that they won the division and they lost to the Bears in a game that was actually played in their building with
right.
a losing record in
right.
the playoffs. So, Pete got a little bit of a break there by being in that bad division. They won it with a 7-9 record. The next year, they were 7-9 again. They were third in the NFC West. And then, of course, last year they were 11-5 and went all the way to the playoffs, and they lost to Atlanta on the road, and they were second in their division. But, you know, that division, when you look back over the last 2 years, how bad San Francisco was, how bad Seattle was, how bad Arizona was, and how bad St. Louis was.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you look where those teams are now. I'm not so sure where Arizona fits into all of this right now, but St. Louis has gotten better with Jeff Fisher. So it takes time, NFL fans. It just you got to have a guy that's going to be making the right decisions. He's going to be pushing the right buttons. And sometimes those decisions are going to be hard. And I know for all those Jet fans out there that, like Rex Ryan, recognizes Darrelle Revis, when healthy, is one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in football.
Right.
They could not pay him the $16 million that he's going to make this year from Tampa Bay. And if they didn't pay him, what do you have in your hands?
Nothing. Ugats.
Because
he would have left. You would have got nothing in return.
Yeah, but what you have is you have a disgruntled player.
Oh, well, he would have been miserable because they're not going to win games anyway. Then you have a guy that's pissed off about his contract. He would have been miserable here. Listen, he's good. Goodbye. Gone. See you later. Now you just got to hope that Mark Sanchez's first touchdown pass isn't thrown to Darrelle Revis when the New York Jets open the season against Tampa.
Yeah, the other thing here, too, is that what are the residual effects of this or the collateral effects of this? You know, to me, if you're a player for the New York Jets right now, it's got to be a dagger because you're losing what you believe is one of the best players in football, whether it be because of economics, whether because of other contractual situations on your team, or because you have a new GM recognizing that this is in the year that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Okay, all of those things wrapped into one. For the guys that are coming back, it's a tough thing. It's a tough sell. And Rex is going to have to do the best coaching job he's ever done because this sends a signal to those guys in that locker room that we're not going to the Super Bowl. So that's a whole nother set of circumstances.
Well, if you're a Jet fan, Jet player that thought you were going to the Super Bowl, I'm having you drug tested immediately.
But here's the deal. Every player thinks that their team is going to win in every game. I'm telling you, even when I played on some really, really bad teams,
right,
you still, because you're an athlete and because you think you can go out there and get it done, you're going to win. As ridiculous as that sounds, every player thinks they're going to win. You know, when Ilya Kovalchuk steps on the ice yesterday against the New York Rangers with a bad shoulder, he's out there trying to win a game. He thinks his presence is going to help them beat their hated rivals in their building.
Not 35 seconds in, he didn't.
After 35 seconds in. That's because they played the day before.
All right.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I know what you mean. The mentality is going to be we're going to win today. And if that's not the mentality, you shouldn't be on the
field. When you go play basketball on Wednesday nights at Chelsea Piers, and now you've got Bernard King coaching your team.
That's right.
Don't you think you're going to win every time you step on the
court? Well, I mean,
I'm
the starting point guard, so yes. I mean, clearly, but that's all about me.
All right.
I feel like I'll be good enough to spread the ball around in the right positions where we'll have a good chance to win.
Speaking of spreading the ball around, how about the Knicks? Can they spread the ball around a little bit more, maybe?
Yeah, well, listen, Knicks, we'll get to the Knicks. Obviously, the big win Saturday afternoon at the Garden. Nice to get off to a 1-0 lead. Tough game, though. But give the Knicks credit for all the nonsense about the Knicks, that if they don't shoot well from three, they can't win. Well, you know what? They didn't shoot well from three, but locked down defensively.
Hey, dude, thank
25
God.
Second half points, Boomer. Yep. That's almost an NBA record.
That is a lockdown.
Give him a lot of credit for that.
No question. And defense first. That's I'll always support that. Here's the thing, though. Two guys in particular that all of a sudden showed their mettle. And one of those guys is Jason Kidd at the age of 40, diving all over the place.
Played his ass off.
Love the way he played. And number two, Kenya Martin looked like he had springs in his sneakers. Literally looked like he had springs in his sneakers.
Yep, played great.
I mean, so you have two guys that basically, in my estimation, were the difference. Carmelo shot way too much again. But you know what? They played defense. He got rebounds. Kenyon Martin was great. You know,
Jason Kidd, I mean, obviously Carmelo having 36 is what he was. But in the key moments, Jason Kidd won the game.
Yeah, yeah. He was a pussy. He controlled the ball. He relaxed everybody. And that's why you have a 40-year-old guy with the unbelievable experience that he has. Prigioni may be back tomorrow night.
That's what they're saying. He may also retire today. You never know what the next.
Right, you never know. But it was, I would tell you that the last 5 minutes of that game was all-time Knick basketball.
Yes, because it was all about defense. The Garden crowd was pumping, and you get the kid steal, the Carmelo steal, the Carmelo layup, game over, and we take game one. The only thing I hate about this series is how they're dragging this out. I mean, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday.
But you got to remember,
let's play some basketball. Come on!
But both teams play in buildings where they're sharing the building with hockey teams.
Enough.
You know that.
It's garbage.
What do you mean garbage?
It's garbage is what it is.
And hopefully both, well, listen, the Bruins are already in the playoffs, and hopefully the Rangers are going to join them.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. We'll do all the Knicks stuff from Saturday. Obviously, baseball over the weekend. Good job by the Mets taking 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. And even though the Yankees blew a 2-run lead yesterday, Boom, they take 2 out of 3 from Toronto. And that, what do we always talk about here? Win series. Right?
That's what I always say.
Well, they both won series.
I know. When I'm outside talking baseball and stuff like that, I always talk about, you know, win series.
Win series, yes.
Just win the series. Don't get crazy and not win the series.
And don't forget, between now and 6:30, you'll find out what today's dollar amount is as me and Boomer and the Fan give away $50,000.
Shut up.
Over the next
five weeks. Really?
That's right. That's right. By the way, you missed a lot of fun on Friday.
I paid attention to what was going on.
You missed a lot of fun.
I listened to you guys online.
Now you were up in Montreal listening?
Thank you to Michelle. She's unbelievable. She's great. She's so likable.
Yes.
You know, and she really brings a touch of class to the show.
But what are you saying?
Just brings a touch of class to the show.
You're saying that the show needed a touch of class with you not being here?
Needs more than a touch.
Yeah, well, she brought that. All right.
She did. All right.
All right. Your boy Bernard King came by.
Yeah, he was
Carmelo Anthony came by.
I mean,
Brooke Lopez came by.
Yeah, they all came by.
Everybody coming by.
They all came by at the same time, too.
Everybody coming by to hang out with Boomer and Carton.
And you know why?
Yes. Because they knew that they'd have a good time hanging out with BNC.
Carmelo needs to call in when he's supposed to call in.
Separate issue.
Man doesn't call in when he's supposed to call in. You know what I say?
Don't put him on.
Don't put him on?
Yeah.
I don't care who he is.
No, no, you care who he is.
Unless, of course, he's the President of the United States and he's dealing with some issue that is far beyond our scope.
Here's Joe in Brooklyn on the Fan. Joe, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Joe?
Frank?
What's happening, brother?
Nothing. It's just I know what you guys are saying about this Revis trade, and I know I get the compensation, but I think what most Jets fans are angry about is that this franchise, there is still no idea where they're headed. It's Mark Sanchez is still on this roster. Tim Tebow is still on this roster. This is the second rebuilding effort on this team in less than 5 years. And this is New York City paying New York prices.
Yeah.
We have no idea where this franchise is headed. We're a laughingstock. We're a punchline. And I'll tell you right now, man, it's just Leon Hess is turning in his grave because Woody Johnson is...
Hey, Joe, let me stop you for 1 second. With all due respect to Leon Hess, what did they do with Leon Hess's owner?
I understand, but you
don't... So what do you mean Leon Hess is thrown over in his grave? What did he win?
At least Leon Hess, at least the team Hess, the franchise...
Okay, let me ask you a question. How many championship games did the Jets go to with Leon Hess's owner?
You know what, Craig, that's a fair point. It really is, but at least they weren't they weren't a circus.
Really? Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were.
You had Rich Kotite here as the head coach. What are you talking about?
I lived through 3 years of it.
1 year with Kotite.
2.
This guy Rex Ryan is a clown. He's a certified clown.
Oh, my God. Listen, Joe, I understand why you're upset right now. I understand it 100%.
It's comical.
Rex Ryan took your team to the AFC Championship game twice, and I don't care how you think they got there, whether or not the Indianapolis Colts laid down or this team wasn't ready to play. Your team got there, and your team played their asses off in both of those AFC Championship games with the exception of the first quarter of the game against Pittsburgh. But you know what? They came back. They made it a game in the second half.
First and goal from the 2.
And you forget, you know, they're on the road playing against freaking Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
It's not like they're on the road playing against Temple University or Rutgers or something like that.
Right.
I mean, so we all forget about those first 2 years that Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum actually got to the AFC Championship game. Like, it never happened. And now all of a sudden, you have a general manager that has got to come in here and clean up the mess that was left behind by Mike Tannenbaum, which includes Tebow, which includes the Darrelle Revis contract situation, which also includes the inability to move Mark Sanchez.
Right.
So I don't know what you want this GM to do. He's trying to do what he believes is in his right mind to rebuild his team. And that's why I said, look at Seattle. 7-9, 7-9. Okay, we're gonna jump ship. Now Seattle will be one of the prohibitive favorites to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Bottom line is this. Yes, the Jets became a laughingstock. I agree. The Jets were a circus last year. I agree. But remember this. With Rex Ryan as the head coach of the New York Jets, and I'm not happy with him either, they've had one losing season. One. They've gone to 2 AFC Championship games and had a single losing season. So let's not pretend like the last 4 years of Jet football haven't brought us more success than any four-year period in the history of the franchise.
Right. You know, and I know that sometimes
I'm pissed too. I know that when
sometimes Rex talks, people scratch their head. Like, you know, he's talking about how he's going to be the best here. He's going to be the best there. I'm sticking with this guy. You know why? Sometimes head coaches like Rex Ryan, you know, say things for effect.
Right.
And they recognize how many people are watching and listening, and they also know. And he also knows what's paramount to his personal success as a coach is his, I don't want to say popularity, it's a wrong word to use, but respect and credibility within the locker room with his players.
Right.
And you can't sit here and tell me that Darrell Revis does not love Rex Ryan.
Boom.
You can't sit here and tell me that Antonio Cromartie does not love Rex Ryan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
All right, 647, Boomer and Carton on The Fan, and Jerry Recco is here. Jerry?
Well, good morning. We're brought to you by Rockin' Refuel, a healthy protein beverage that starts with real milk and ends with real results. Available at 7-Eleven, and brought to you by Adorama, 42 West 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Adorama, more than a camera store, and the trade everyone was waiting for. Finally happened Sunday as we hear from Jets GM John Idzik.
So we wanted to take this opportunity to formally announce the trade of Darrell Revis to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Jets get back the 13th overall pick in this week's draft. Conditional pick next year. Revis agreeing to a 6-year, $96 million contract. No signing bonus, though. Idzik says, yes, we had reservations about the surgically repaired knee.
Until we see him through completion of rehab and playing without inhibition and playing the way we know Darrell could play, there would always be a degree of uncertainty there.
Now, Rex Ryan was
in
also...
In other words, we were never going to give him $16 million a year. Goodbye.
In other words, it ain't my fault. I'm here just to clean the crap up.
Yep. Rex says, I'm not going to backpedal on anything I've said in the past in regards to Revis.
I believe that he is the best corner in football, without question.
But he also says, Revis or no Revis, I'm Rex Ryan and my team's play D.
We believe that we will have an outstanding defense this year and in the future as well.
And Woody Johnson on this conference call, he had a message for the fans. He says, we never have and we never will give up on a season.
You know, I've been at this a while now, and there has been never been a year where I haven't tried to win.
Press conference today in Tampa at 12 noon. They're calling it Treasure Island instead of Revis Island.
Oh, is that right? Isn't that cute?
That's what it's called.
That's so cute.
Don't they have like swashbuckling like pirate ships and everything?
Yes,
there?
Exactly.
So
right.
All rolls into
shoot
one.
The cannons.
Wait
yes,
till
exactly
Revis
right.
gets here and says, sorry, bitches, it's Revis Island. Start remaking T-shirts.
That's right. Jets and Bucks will play week one, which should be a blast. In Toronto, the Yankees were seeking the sweep of the Blue Jays, but were turned aside.
Line fair. Over third down the left field line. Rolling toward the left field corner. Aaron Sebia scores. Rasmus around third. Coming home, he scores.
And that put the Blue Jays up 5-4. John Sterling, no. WCBS. Toronto would tack on three more and beat New York 8-4. David Phelps the loss, but only after Ivan Nova pitched himself into a jam in the sixth.
I'm not throwing a strike, and that's kind of... make me mad.
Manager Joe Girardi says, why all the long faces? Sure, today sucked, but mission accomplished.
Our goal is to take every series, and if you can do that, you're going to be in good shape.
And the Yankees did. They took 2 of 3, and they play in Tampa tonight. CC Sabathia faces Matt Moore. The Mets beat the Nationals 2-0. Not easy, though. Scott Rice pitched himself into a jam in the eighth, but wiggled out of it.
3-0. He swings, hits it on the ground to short. Tejada to second. 1. Murphy to first. 2. A double play. Oh, did he get some help?
And then he struck out Bryce Harper to end the inning. Howie Rose on
Hi.
The
I'm Howie Rose.
Dylan Dick G. Meir. 5-2.
He got hurt because the guy swung. Worth swung on a 3-0 pitch.
Yes, right. He did. Yes,
dummy.
He did.
It might have actually. Light. It looked to me like it was out of the strike zone.
Yeah, but even so, you got Rice on the ropes. Why wouldn't you take a pitch?
Yep, but
that's
he
what
didn't.
I'm saying. Rice is on the ropes. You
got
to take a pitch.
You got Rice on the ropes. How about this guy Rice? 14 years in the minors, finally gets his crack, and now he pitches every day for the Mets.
Hey, he's done what he's had to do so far.
Say hello to Pedro Feliciano.
Hello, Pedro Feliciano.
Your arm's going to be worn out by the season's time.
Yeah, but you know what? As Craig said, it's been such a journey. He'll take it.
Okay.
If his career ended tomorrow, he'll love the first month of being a Major League Baseball player. Pitch me every day because the journey's what it's all about.
Dylan G. 5 2/3 scoreless innings. He gets his first win. Terry Collins says G just had to have it.
Well, I think he needed a bat. I think it's a great confidence builder for him.
And G says...
Can I get a what?
The Eckenaller.
the Eckenalder. Here's Jesus. About time.
You know, I'm just happy to finally contribute to a win.
And Bobby Parnell, a 1-2-3 ninth. Odds you to free. Got the save. And John Buck in a big home run to left field.
Another
long solo shot.
Another
Yeah, he's got seven now. And this one into the second deck. Mets took 2 of 3. They're off today. Home for the Dodgers tomorrow. And you see who's going to pitch for the Dodgers, I think, Wednesday. Ted Lilly.
Really? Is that right?
Ted Lilly, 37-year-old. Yeah, who's been terrible in the minor leagues, too.
Ted Lilly.
Yeah, how about that? NBA playoffs, game two. Nets-Bulls tonight at Barclays Center. Brooklyn beat them down pretty good on Saturday. We'll have it on the fan at 7:50.
Beat them down pretty good. They blew them out.
That's what I said. They beat them down pretty good.
Don't minimize
60
it.
60-35 at halftime.
Yeah,
how about that?
They blew them the bleep out.
Yes.
It was a blackout in the Barclays Center, and they came out of the gate. Pop, 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 pop.
And how about Darren
came
Williams
over.
Jam in the second half? It's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Nice.
That was good. So we'll have that game free on the fan at 7:50.
Great. How come the Knicks don't play until tomorrow?
Because they're I hate stupid.
That crap.
Do you know when game 7 would be, if there is a game
June.
7? May 5th.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Oh, I mean, it really is.
Really not good. Sunday, the Heat beat the Bucks 110-87. Spurs over the Lakers 91-79. Kobe was tweeting during the game. The Thunder clobbered the Rockets 120-91. And the Pacers beat the Hawks 107-90. David Lee done for the rest of the playoffs for the Warriors. Hip injury he suffered in their game one loss to the Nuggets.
Yeah, that, by the way, that was very strange to see.
That was ugly.
It was kind of like a non-contact thing.
And then he fell down.
He tries to walk up the court and he can't walk.
It was terrible.
Yeah, so he's now played in one playoff game in his career. And that'll be the only playoff game.
Well, we'll see. NHL didn't take the Rangers long to get a lead on the Devils.
Hagelin in the post and Brett scores! 34 seconds in!
There's Mike Emmerich on NBC. New York wound up beating New Jersey 4-1. Callahan had 2 in between goals for Stepan and Piatt. Henrik Lundqvist, 26 saves. New York and Ottawa tied for 7th and 8th in the East. 3 points out of 9th place Winnipeg, who the Islanders beat Saturday in a shootout.
You're welcome.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You're welcome, Boomer. We took care of business. I know they got a point, but we took care of business.
Well, the thing that I wanted out of that game was either one or the other team taking 2 points without leaving another point for
but,
the other one.
But, we helped you out there.
By the way, you take a look at the Islanders' schedule here. They're 3 games on a road against 3 non-playoff teams, just like the Rangers have three games left, of them on the road against, obviously, Florida and Carolina, and then they come home to play the Devils at the end of the season. But both the Rangers and the Islanders, take care of business. You're going to find yourself locked in, right in the middle of this
playoff. I got a little problem with the NHL.
What?
Well, clearly the NHL does not like my New York Islanders.
What's that?
The NHL clearly does not like my New York Islanders.
And why? Because 5 away to end?
How do you end the season with 5 games on the
Listen,
road?
Listen, you see their road record? They did them a favor.
Yeah, but still, it's not right. It's not right.
Fair.
They went down to Florida. They're having a good time right now.
It's not right. 5 road games to end the season. Yeah,
and they're winning them all, basically. New Jersey eliminated from postseason contention. In golf, Graham McDowell won the Heritage at Hilton Head Island. And Ravens linebacker Rolando McClain was arrested yesterday for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. And you got Al Michaels was arrested for DUI Friday night, barely over the legal limit, but that happened as well over
that
the
weekend. That happened over the weekend, right? And by the way, it was very strange when Al Michaels, the arrest hit the... you know, the news services, how many people got great joy out of that? Listen, just because Boomer and Al don't like each other doesn't mean that Boomer's happy that Al Michaels got arrested.
DUI is a very serious thing. It's not anything to make fun about. And, you know, we living in this area, especially on Long Island, know that we have an epidemic and people die. And the thing about Al is, you know, what's he, 68 years old now?
There's nothing positive about the story other than they got him before it thankfully hurt someone.
Yeah, but he's just barely over the legal limit, which there's still no excuse. He probably had a couple glasses of wine, got in his car, made an illegal turn, and got pulled over.
Right.
Point being, it could happen to any of us.
Yep.
Right, but you got the same things I got. Like, you think Boomer was celebrating the fact that Al Michaels was driving drunk? You're out of your mind.
I was not.
No, I know you weren't. I didn't even talk to you.
I told you a million times on this radio program, while Al and I certainly did not get along, we were not good teammates. And that is, you know, everybody can, you know, see that and probably saw it better than I did.
Right.
Fact of the matter is, I think he's a tremendous broadcaster.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Boomer and Carton on the fan. Here's Gary in Brantford. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Hello,
friends.
Gary, what's happening?
Are you
brother?
Calling because it's Earth Day and you're dying to hear an Al Dukes Earth Day tip or no?
No, I'm calling to say that this is a huge day for the Boomer and Carton show. You guys are building a bridge to the Mike show.
We are?
Finally, you're going to drop that animosity. I called Mike last week and asked him if Booms gave him, you know, if he gave him a piece of the Fudgy the Whale cake, he dumped me.
Is that right?
Like,
well, the Fudgy the Whale was gone.
I'm a diehard WFAN fan. I listen to you guys. I listen to Joe and Ev, Summers, Dick Nair. certain. I mean, it's funny. When you guys are off, people call up, they bash you guys. Oh,
yeah.
This is the only time I'll call the morning show because that loser Cotton and that bum Boomer.
Yeah.
I hate it. I don't understand.
Don't worry about it.
I love you guys. I want you guys to all get along. Like,
well, listen, we get along with everybody. I mean, the Booms.
Right. Yeah, we do. We try to get along with
them. There's nobody that we don't get along with. You know, I mean, it's been 6 years that our names are, you know, never referenced or mentioned around here.
Right.
You may hear the morning show.
Right.
You'll never hear Boomer and Carton. But we're doing this promotion, free money. We announce how much the money is between 6:15 and 6:30 and what time you can call back in to win. Now, today, for example, it's 9 a.m. And with Mike's show, what is it again? I think it's 3 o'clock on Mike's show.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's it. So, we'll see how it goes. But it's good for you guys because you have two chances every day to win a significant amount of money.
Right. I would have given Mike some Fudgy the Whale cake, but it was gone.
Who ate it?
The Savages out in the bullpen.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it Mongo and Bobby and them?
Yeah, it's Monzo.
Who is it?
Monzo.
Monzo. Why do you keep calling him Mongo?
You call him Mongo. I don't call
him Mongo. I'm the one calling him Mongo.
I know who he is.
Monzo.
Right, Mons.
Got it.
Could just call him the Mons.
The Mons. Like the Fonz. Like Fonz. The people call him Monzarelli.
You call him the Mons.
Yeah. And who's the other guy? McGonagall?
McMonagall.
Monagall?
McMonagall.
Wasn't there a McGonagall here?
No, that was a Harry Potter character.
Oh, my bad.
McMonagall.
McMonagall? How do you pronounce it?
Is that a first and last name or is that a whole name?
It's Chris McMonagall.
His middle name is Mick. They named after Mickey Mantle.
What do they call him? C-Mac?
C-Mac.
C-Mac? That was clever.
Did C-Mac like a baby formula?
C-Mac. C-Mac and Mongo. Afternoons on the Fan.
Similac.
There you go. That's not a bad way to go. That sounds like a good show to me. When Mike Francesco's out, tune into the Fan for free money with C-Mac and Mongo.
Monzo.
Talking sports. New York, Brooklyn, Staten Island, all the five boroughs. That's where they're great.
How about C-Mac and Mons?
C-Mac and Mons, afternoons on the Fan. It's not bad.
Yeah, that sounds good. C-Mac and Mons.
Or do you go,
like
Mongo and the Mac Man? How about like that?
Man, have a Mons and the Mac Man.
Mong and Mac. The Mong and Mac Show, afternoons on Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Mons.
Be great. You know.
Why not?
Yastrzemski and the Mac Man with a little Mongo on the side. Mornings on the Fan.
We do this. Hey, it's the Mons.
Hey, it's Monzarelli and the Mac Man. Middays on the Fan. Mark was playing for me on Friday. They had these new jingles for the radio station.
Not for us.
Well, eventually they'll get to us too. Right. But it's for the entire radio station. And it's like some badass 1985 USA rock kind of thing,
right?
Like yeah. Talking sports on the Fan.
What you think?
It's something like that.
I have my favorites already in the can.
Boomer and Carton on Sports Radio 66. The Fan.
WFAN.
That's not my favorite.
That's not your favorite one.
No.
I assume they have your favorite one ready to go?
I don't know if he does or not.
All right, let's
Boomer and Boomer.
That's the one?
Go. That's good.
Boomer and Boomer.
One more time.
Because two Boomers are better than one.
Boomer and Boomer.
Tomorrow morning on The Fan, a very special morning show. Boomer and Boomer. Free money.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
We move on to baseball. In Toronto, the Blue Jays avoided the sweep to the New York Yankees.
I'll be a 2-2.
Oh.
And the pitch swung on and driven to deep center field. That ball is going to be...
What?
Gone.
Yeah, John Sterling, WCBS TV, Aaron Sebia. Blasting a two-run homer cap to scoring Toronto stop New York 8-4. Yankees didn't get a great start from Ivan Nova. And would you agree, Craig, great starts are important?
I would agree that great starts... Sparts?
Great starts.
Yeah, great starts are quite important.
Here was the start Friday for John.
Live from Rogers Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, it's New York Yankees baseball.
Just give it time.
And tonight, the Yankees begin a six-game road trip, three here in Toronto, and then three down in Tampa before returning home. And the Yankees, who did lose in 12 innings last night to... what did we play last night? Arizona, thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I tell you, thank God she's sitting next
to
him.
You know, John, we played Arizona. You were there. You did the game. And you hear she's like pissed. She's like,
Arizona.
The game hasn't even started
yet. Here we go again.
John.
Arizona.
And last night, the Yanks lost in 12 against
Arizona.
Well, Susan, who did we play?
Arizona.
Didn't you know we played Arizona, Archie?
What did we play last night?
Archie, we played Arizona.
Arizona.
They make a nice iced tea, Archie.
Oh, man. God.
So stupid.
Oh, God.
I mean, you, it's sitting in front of you, right?
You
on, everybody.
Who did we play last night?
There's a ground ball. And
hey, to him, it's not even about the uniforms. It's about, you know, the guys in the uniforms. That's all he has to know.
Not even, really. It's really just about him.
I think so.
Good for us.
I'm going to foobar a triple play now in a manner that no one else has ever foobarred a triple play. There's 27 men on base. This is very confusing, Susan. Do you have any idea what just happened?
Not really, John. You confused the hell out of me, too.
Yeah, a little bit. The Mets did win 2-0, which was good. And the Rangers ended the Devil's season with a 4-1 win at the Garden.
How about the Mets showing you multiple ways of winning games? The offensive onslaught Friday night.
Yep.
You know, the low scoring 2-0 shutout
great
yesterday.
Great defense by Ruben Tejada yesterday.
Tejada played his ass off. And then,
it's getting warmer, Craigie.
You know, I for some reason I follow Sweeney Murdy on Twitter, right?
Well, yeah. What'd you follow?
Sweeney Murdy time. It's Sweeney Murdy. Wake up, Mike. It's Sweeney Murdy time. It's Sweeney Murdy time.
Come on, Sweeney is so, our guy, man.
He was really, really upset, like on a personal level on Twitter, that people have been attacking the defensive play of one Nunez, or as we like to call him, Nooney. And he goes, you have to watch every Yankee game to really see what the effort this kid's putting in and how important he is to the club. Those that are ripping him are just off base, as far as I'm concerned. La, la, la. It's Sweeney Murdy time. Wake up, Mike. It's Sweeney Murdy time. Wake up, Mike. It's Sweeney Murdy time. It's Sweeney Murdy time. Wake up, Mike. Anywho, what else, Jerry?
That's it. We got the Rangers winning and Graham McDowell won the Heritage Hill.
How about those Rangers, man?
How about them?
How about those Rangers?
So I keep telling you, be patient.
Yeah, be patient. That's what I keep telling you. Be patient.
My Islanders did you a favor, right? Beat Winnipeg.
Islanders are playing great hockey. Best in the NHL right now.
Going up there. Well, I don't know. Washington's playing pretty good, too, bro.
Yes, they are.
Woo-hoo! So calm down with that, all right?
The Islanders are playing
the Chicago
great
Blackhawks are playing pretty
right
good,
now.
Too. They're smarty pants.
Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Is that who your pick is for the Derby this year?
Smarty Pants. Yeah.
That's a Bob Baffert train colt.
Yeah. What is with you? Making horse noises.
You know it's a good day when Boomer's making horse sounds, right?
Right.
You missed being here on Friday.
You
I
wanted to be
did.
Talking to horses.
It's Sweeney Murdy time. Ed Coleman just tweeted me. He's pissed. He doesn't have a song. It's Eddie Coleman time. It's Eddie Coleman time.
That sounds like Clementine.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Over the weekend at Fenway Park.
Yep.
The Boston Red Sox playing a home game, right?
Yep.
First home game after the nonsense there with the two bombers and all that stuff as it played out on Friday, right? So they canceled Friday night's game because they had to make a decision prior to them catching the kid. Then they go on TV, and Big Poppy goes out there, and he goes, this is our bleeping city. And the place goes nuts, and as any city would have, right?
Yeah, and the FCC said it was okay.
Yeah, the FCC goes, no fine on this one because
he
was speaking from the heart. We're not even, don't even call and complain because no one's being fined.
I actually like the way he said it.
Yeah, me too. And I like the FCC getting it
and
not being douches about it. So then you have that, right?
Right.
Now, they have for a long time, their tradition is that they play,
Caroline.
Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline, right? So I find that this is what's great about America, all right?
Okay.
Neil Diamond, he doesn't make a big deal about it. He doesn't, like, no fanfare. He's not on his website, you know, talking about crap. Neil Diamond shows up at Fenway Park unannounced. You don't tell anyone he's going.
He took a red eye.
Right?
From L.A.
Comes to Boston, walks in unannounced, finds a PR guy or someone like that and says, listen, if it's all right with you, I'd love to sing it live.
Is that how it really went down?
Yeah.
I thought for sure that the Red Sox would have called him.
No idea.
Or his people would have called their people.
And the story as I read it, all right, and then seeing him do it and then him commenting on it.
Right.
Is that he flew there on his own, right?
I know he took a red eye. I know that.
Shows up at Fenway Park and goes, if it's all right with you guys, I would love to do it live and give these people a little something. So could you imagine? That may not mean a lot to us because that's not our tradition. But ladies and gentlemen, now walking out of the Red Sox dugout to sing Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond. How awesome was that?
They sung it yesterday at the Ranger game.
Right. I didn't see that.
I think a lot of people are trying to show great solidarity with
isn't that great?
With Boston. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah. So kudos to Neil Diamond. He did it. You guys have that there?
Thank you, Boston. What an honor it is for me to be here today.
It's great.
I bring love from the whole country.
Hey, I mean, just great.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
So we got another letter handwritten to us. For this time, the guy actually signed it and left his return address.
All right, well, good for that.
Yes. Lou from Manhattan. Dear stupid MFers, not every Knick or Met fan like me shares your drooling, imbecile, Howard Stern ripoff politics. Stick to sports, something you know a little bit about. And trust me, boys, if your kids aren't ashamed of your jingoism, they should be. Lou from Manhattan. So we appreciate you taking the time.
Lou have a last name and an address?
Yes, he does, and we have both.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, well, at least I give him credit for that.
Yeah, he put your name on it.
Are you sure? Are you sure that it's real?
Well, I don't know if it's real or not, but...
Put your name on it.
We'll turn it over. We'll let them take care of it. And...
All right, whatever.
So anyway, I just thought, listen, we get it, we read it. So I don't know if you want to frame that or copy it or whatever you want to do with that there, Booms. Here is Hiram in Chester on The Fan. Hiram, good morning. How are you today, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hello, right, Hiram.
What's happening?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hey, Cookie, give me a moment. I want to ask Boomer two things.
All right.
Number one, Boomer.
Yes.
An old-fashioned blues theater.
Okay, great, Hiram. Okay. Good job ruining that phone call. Let's go to Mary and Dobbs Ferry on The Fan. Mary, good morning. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I love you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I'm talking to Boomer Greg. Oh, my God.
Bring it on, Mary. What's happening?
So here's what I got to say, guys. I mean, I know Darrell Revis is the best player that the Jets had on the team, but I got to tell you, I'm, like, a little bit disgusted with his I'm such a great player. You guys need me kind of stuff.
Right.
We gotta act like a team. I feel like we got enough with the loudmouth Antonio Holmes, throw me the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Let Revis go. I mean, we gotta start somewhere. We can't have all of these superstars. We gotta work together as a team to make it.
Well, the other thing too, Mary, and thanks for the call. The other thing too is the fact that that's really the only bargaining chip the Jets have right now, and they actually found one of the other 31 teams to make a trade like this, so where now they can start over, they can start shedding some salary. And by the way, Hiram said that was his name, right? The previous caller, yeah, old fashioned blue seater. Meaning that he's a Ranger fan.
Oh, I apologize.
I don't know what you mistook what he said.
I thought
said.
It was some sexual thing he was getting at.
No. He was talking about the Rangers. That's what he wanted to talk
about.
Well,
I didn't know.
Now you're going to piss off all those hockey fans out there who are feeling good about their Rangers this morning, even though we haven't locked up a playoff spot.
What are you happy about?
What do you mean, what am I happy about? I'm happy about the way they played the last three games and the fact that they've scored so many freaking goals. I mean, it's like a goal barrage.
All right, good.
So there you go. I'm happy about it.
All right. I'm not pissed off hockey fans. I'm the one that's bringing hockey up. My Islanders are killing it.
Let's take care of business.
Taking care of business. That's exactly right.
But just the Islanders, they need to play the Canadians.
Phone number to call, 877.
That's who they need. That's who I believe they need to play in the first round.
337-6666, toll free made possible by our friends at Mohegan Sun. You know, Boomer, I went to a karaoke restaurant the other day.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there minding my own business. And every now and then a song comes on you just want to sing along to.
Hmm. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open a freaking door and let him in already. And let him in.
There you go.
Okay.
you know what to do. Good luck to you. Boomer and Carton on the Fan, giving away Paul McCartney tickets.
Somehow Paul McCartney sounds so much better than me.
But it's close.
Very close.
I mean, it's right
I'm
there.
I'm almost
Boom.
There. I'm almost there.
It is right there.
Well, that's why I was not in the chorus in high school.
There you go. McCartney tickets, all yours if you know what to do right now. Here's Kenny in the Bronx on the Fan. Kenny, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, good morning. Boomer and Carton, good morning.
Good morning,
Kenny. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Boomer, you know I love you guys. I love both of you guys.
Thank you.
Day one. But I need to speak to Carton only.
All right.
All right, I'll step aside,
yeah,
Kenny. Hang on.
This is bothering me for a long, long time.
All right.
To be honest, I always listen to the way you talk about Sterling and Susan. I think sometimes you just nitpick every little thing just to make fun at them. I don't like it. As a matter, you know, I mean, sometimes people make mistakes. I mean, Sterling is not the best play-by-play guy, but he's entertaining, he's funny. And, you know, sometimes some little stuff you talk, I think sometimes you really mean it. I don't think you do it in jokes sometimes, to be honest.
I haven't understood a single word you've said, so you might as well keep on going.
I think you make fun of Susan and John Sterling for no reason.
I make fun of Susan and John Sterling for no reason.
For no reason. I think you just don't like the fact that the Yankees keep on winning.
Yeah, I hope the Yankees win a World Series this year. What are you talking about?
But guess what?
What?
On the other side of the river, your team, John Sterling called all the big games in New York.
Kenny, listen to me. There is no bigger fan in this town of John Sterling and Susan Wallman than me. No one. Nobody likes them as much as I do. I love them. I've said a million times, every time those radio negotiations come up and that hack with the ugly mustache writes in the paper, it may be time for the end of John and Susan. Now, who's their biggest advocate here, Boomer?
You are, Craigie.
I think they should be employed as a team until they decide to retire, not get fired.
You know, I know why you
and
say
I
that.
And I got to tell you, Craig, I really appreciate that support. Yeah. Now, I know we got off on the wrong foot, what with you making fun of me and all, with George Steinbrenner's box. But to hear that from you, thank you. You're welcome.
Right.
I love them. I can't get enough of them.
You.
Please.
Nobody talks about them, obviously, more than you do.
Right. And is there anything better than Susan Wallman on the field after a Yankee win when John throws it down to the field for Susan's post-game interview with one of the stars of the game? And the very first 3 seconds of words that come out of her mouth are special.
John.
They belong in the Radio Hall of Fame like this.
Okay, John.
Okay, donkey. Come on. Okay, John. We're here now. I got to tell you, A-Rod, bring those balls over here for a second. You're signing balls to hot chicks. I better be one of them. You better be writing your home digits on there, too. I spent all this time on Match.com. All I needed was an autograph ball. Okay, doggy.
Okay, John.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Moment of the day!
Brought to you by Resorts World Casino, New York City. Check out our new video poker parlor in Single Zero Roulette just minutes away. And contrary to popular belief, Craig wants everybody to know that he is the number one fan in the Sterling and Waldman fan club.
Is there anything better than Susan Wallman on the field after a Yankee win when John throws it down to the field for Susan's post-game interview with one of the stars of the game? And the very first 3 seconds of words that come out of her mouth are special.
John!
They belong in the Radio Hall of Fame like this.
Okay, John.
Okay, donkey. Come on. Okay, donkey.
Okay, John.
We're here now. I got to tell you, A-Rod, bring those balls over here for a second.
You're signing balls to hot chicks. I better be one of them. You better be writing your home digits on there, too. I spent all this time on Match.com. All I needed was an autographed ball. Okay, doggy.
Okay, John.
Okay, 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 doggy.
Moment of the day, you sicko.